Hello, I'm Todd DeFeo, editor of railfanning.org. In Atlanta this week, MARTA undertook a major project at its Canterbury Junction, north of the Lindbergh Center rail station. That's where the red and gold lines converge. As part of this project, which necessitated the closure of the line to trains around the junction, crews ripped out the old tracks and installed new cross ties, rail, and ballast. But this project is part of a much larger, ongoing upgrade to the MARTA system. As part of the work, crews will replace track across the system, including rails that were installed as part of MARTA's original construction. I recently spoke with Chief of Capital Programs Planning and Innovation, Frank Rucker, and Program Manager, Robert Murphy, about the system work. Here's what they had to say.
I want Robert to talk project specific, but just an overview of some of the stuff we got going on. First of all, we have a major elevator escalator rehabilitation and replacement program ongoing. We have quite a number. I think it's well over 200 units that are being upgraded over the course of the next, it was a 10-year program. It's basically the second, third year within that program, as well as the overall monthly, daily maintenance of those things. Big station rehabilitation program we're beginning to embark on, where we are basically just, I wouldn't say upgrading, but we're bringing back up to standard and repairing a lot of defects that have occurred in these stations over the last 40 years. Stuff like replacing tile, expansion joints, putting a fresh coat of paint on them some places, putting new tile, basically making sure the stations are not leaking, et cetera. So that's what we call our station rehabilitation program. We're putting in new audio-visual signage, as well as new PA systems system-wide. We are upgrading train controls throughout the system. So we got a lot going on. And we still basically have been able to basically implement these projects and still maintain operations. Robert, what about TR4?
TR4 is a 7-year initiative that the authority has embarked upon, and the total cost right now is projected to be $225 million of that cost, and we have $133.5 million allocated for the contract, and we have, like I mentioned earlier, the internal resources that we have to have in order to support TR4 that is accumulating for the additional makeup to $225 million total project cost.
The scope of work of TR4 is primarily?
Scope of work is primarily a track rehab program. A lot of our tracks have not been rehabbed and upgraded in over the past 25, 30 years. So this particular project is going to encompass all of that, meaning that we have 65 new turnouts that we're installing. We have 190,000 linear feet of new rail that we're installing. We have 26,000 new concrete ties that we'll be installing throughout the system. And also, which is another major component, a very key component, we have 100,000 DF fasteners that we're installing system-wide on the rail system. So it's going to be a very comprehensive upgrade to the rail system.
And the fasteners are basically what hold the tracks in place on the cross ties.
Gotcha. Is it so? What if you're a commuter rider on the trains? How is this going to benefit once this project's done? I know is it, and I guess at the moment now. I mean, I know you have to do some bus bridges at the moment where trains aren't necessarily running, so there is a little bit of an impact in that standpoint. But can you talk a little bit about the long term benefit once the project's completed?
Well, the whole thing is reliability, right? And so basically, if we're able to maintain reliability, therefore scheduling. So basically, ultimately, our patrons want to know that a train is going to get there on time, and if they the time it takes to get from one destination to the other, they can be, it's time certainty, reliability, time certainty, and with a reliable track surface, we don't have to basically go through slow orders, right? Mm-hmm. So basically, when we say it's going to take you a certain amount of time from to get from point A to point B, we can say that with certainty. And again, as Robert said, these tracks are anywhere from 25 to 40 years old. And as we replace these tracks, they get worn over the course of time. So, if you look at a track and basically it's carrying a train every 7 minutes, we got 7-minute headways or something. You know, over the course of time, they've taken quite a wear and tear.
Sure.
Yeah, the curvature and everything else, it wears out the track.
40 years, is some of this track, that's going back to the early days of MARTA, is some of this track actually original to when MARTA was constructed?
Yeah, that is correct, Todd. Some of the tracks that we're replacing have not yet been replaced in over 40 years since the inception of MARTA. And so that's why this comprehensive project is so large. And we're going back to look at those areas where, as Mr. Rucker indicated, the tracks have worn down on the curvature, especially at the turnout section, where it gets the most movement of the steel trains on the steel tracks. It gets a lot of wear and tear on those tracks. So those tracks were replacing, taking out, and putting in all new tracks.
Todd, Robert makes reference to turnout. I want him to explain what a turnout is.
Okay. Right. A turnout is basically how it sounds. It's turning the train, it's moving the train from one side of the track to the other and changing direction of the trains. So we have 65 of those throughout the system on the east and west line and also north and south line that we're going to be replacing. Because as I indicated, that gets the most wear and tear. Along with on our curves, when we're replacing the new rail, those tracks tend to wear out a lot more quicker.
Sure. Yeah, no, that makes absolute sense. So if some of these tracks are 40 years old, what's the expected, is that above and beyond what it should normally last? Or I guess what's the average lifespan for tracks and turnouts?
Good question. The average lifespan is between a 25-30 year lifespan.
Okay.
So with that, with a 30-year lifespan on track, I guess we've been fortunate. One thing, but that can be attributed to, first of all, it was good construction to start with, you know, excellent construction. So basically, when you look at the entire track section, it has to be installed properly to get the wear that you're expecting out of the system. So to go above and beyond that just means that things were done in very good fashion. The other thing, we have people that inspect those tracks on a recurring basis. So our overall maintenance and maintaining those sections, that track section, has been good over the four-year period. So that's why you got the extended life, and that's a good thing.
Understood. I guess my question, I'm kind of thinking, it makes sense to certainly go through this project now. Did it take longer than it should have to get to this point? Is some of this work should have been done over the last few years, or was it just that there was good maintenance and everything was in a state of good repair that the system didn't need to necessarily take action sooner?
Well, TR4 is a combination of several projects. They had several small projects, Todd, that they were initiating. But once the management team got together and looked at the holistic approach for the entire system, and they looked at, as we've been talking about, some of these track systems that hasn't been repaired, they combined TR4 into one project as opposed to breaking up in multiple projects. So it took a little bit longer to design it, make sure everything is comprehensive. We take a holistic approach to upgrading this track system. So once we're done, we have a pretty good, reliable system. And to go back to what Mr. Rucker indicated earlier, we have slow orders in place on several sections of the track. And the reliability, once we replace this section of the track, we will have a better understanding of our timing once we get through those areas, because we don't have to slow the trains down getting through those slow orders. So that reliability all factored into that decision-making and combining this into one project.
So, Todd, let me ask Robert. We also had another track replacement in the past.
TR1 track replacement 1 and 2.
All right. So we've also done two other track replacements, Todd. So your question, over the 40-year period, there have been incremental replacements of tracks in the past.
Makes sense. Is this the largest of this type of work, or is this the biggest overhaul of the system since it opened? Is that a fair characterization, or is this the biggest? I guess I'm trying to understand how this ranks since MARTA's come on the scene, how this might rank from a project scope and size.
That's correct. This is the largest rehab program that they've done this initiative at one time. Yes, sir.
Does it, I kind of alluded to this a minute ago, does it help to do it in the middle of a pandemic, in the sense that maybe ridership is a little bit slower, so there's a little bit less of an impact from a rider standpoint, or does that not even play into the equation? And I know it wasn't necessarily planned this way, but is that maybe an ancillary benefit from a timing standpoint?
You know, a very good question, Todd, because we thought under the circumstance with our ridership being down a little lower, that we could probably try to get a little bit more work accomplished. However, that hadn't come to fruition because this is a 100% track project. We have multiple projects going on at the same time vying for our track accessibility. So therefore, we go through our track allocation process. Although TR4 is getting about 37% of our track allocation, we have other projects that we need to consider. Also, we need to take into effect we are still operating as though it's not a pandemic. We are still operating our system. So that has all played into it. We have not yet been able to take a full advantage of lower ridership and trying to get more work done sooner.
So Robert brings up a good point, Don. So the frequency of the train, what we call headways, on a no COVID period or a pre-COVID period, we were running somewhere around 7-minute headways. During the COVID, the pandemic, we've actually increased that headway to about 20 minutes. But still, you know, you never close down this track. So whether the train is coming every 7 minutes or whether it's coming every 20 minutes, it's still basically, you know, you have to go through all the safety protocols to actually work. Now, the other thing, too, makes a very good point. We got multiple projects that are vying for track right away. So track time and basically being able to do work. So this is not the only train control replacement. All those things vie for time on what we call the wayside, and which is the active envelope of train movements. So it's a very coordinated effort to actually do the work.
I can imagine. Is there looking ahead a little bit, I mean, obviously you want to finish the current project that's in place, but is there additional work that would come after this? I guess, I don't know if there's a TR5 necessarily planned, or I guess what's looking ahead a little bit, what's next? And again, I'm not trying to rush out of this current project that you have going on, but just curious what the future holds from a system upgrade standpoint.
Well, let me say this, you know, there's been mention of a TR5, but we have not yet begun the planning aspects of it.
Sure.
Now, I imagine, Robert, TR4 was planned over a 10-year period or so?
It took several years to plan it, design it, put it out on the street to bid it, and then award a contract. So you're looking at a 5-6-7-year process.
Yeah. So let us finish TR4. Let's get further along the way in TR4. As Robert says, we just year 2 of 7,
yeah.
Right? So as we get into year 5 and 6 on the TR4, we begin to make an assessment of where we are.
Fair enough. I won't rush you.
I'll be like, no.
How does this play in? Does any of this work? I know there's also some work to extend the system to Clayton. Does any of this help set any of that, you know, rail expansion up for the future?
No.
No, that's completely separate.
So it'd be a totally separate type. We're evaluating a type of system. So we call it a motor transportation. So. You got heavy rail, which is primarily what we operate today. And Clayton County is more of a commuter rail, which basically will use a totally different right-of-way, which is basically right along the corridor of the freight railroad. So you know, it has really no impact on what we're doing here.
Gotcha. Does that project will run on the existing freight tracks? Is that right? Or is that
It's all being studied right now, but initial studies pretty much say no.
Okay.
It will be parallel to the freight tracks, but we're still trying to work on a scenario as to how we will configure within that right way.
Any big surprises as part of the TR4 that you stumbled upon that maybe kind of you didn't expect, or positive or negative? I mean, anything that kind of came up that you learned? I mean, you mentioned a little bit about the quality of construction. Was that anticipated? Or I guess as you inspect the tracks, all along you would have known that as in preparation for this.
Well, the positive has been I've been overjoyed by the internal support that I get from Mr. Rucker, Marcia, the senior management here, in order to making sure we have all the proper resources that we make sure that we have to make TR4 a success. So that's been a huge positive. The negative has been getting enough track allocation time, because all the other projects that we're doing, we have a very aggressive contractor, and once they get on that track, they do a very good job. But finding an additional time to get them out there on the track, that has been a challenge.
Makes sense. Let me ask you a quick question. And I this is coming from a place of, I'm not a contractor, so I realize I don't necessarily understand the ins and outs of heavy projects like this. Could you just shut down the system for a short period of time, move to complete buses for certain areas, and then redo it, or is that not feasible? I didn't know if that might make it quicker, or just curious how that might work from an operational standpoint.
That's a big logistical effort. Thus, so that's what we got, the big shutdown coming up this week, the Canterbury.
Tuesday night.
Double Diamond crossover. And Robin can explain a bit about that. But the reason we had to basically cross that, because that's the switch point.
That's right.
For one line going into two lines. And there's no way it can operate. Robin, you want to explain a little bit about that?
Yes, Todd, are you familiar with MARTA system? Have you rode MARTA system?
Oh, yeah, yep.
Okay, so perfect. So you understand, once you get north of Lindbergh, you have a gold line that splits to go off to Doraville. And then you have the red line that goes up through Dunwoody Medical Center, North Spring.
Correct.
Just north of Lindbergh is what we call the Canterbury Junction area. That's where our train split off. And both of those tracks, we're replacing that diamond crossover, the DXO, and it touches the red and the gold line.
So let me just make sure it's clear. It goes from one set of tracks to two set of tracks.
That's right.
Right, so that split over, you have to have that. It's a moving component, depending on which direction that train is going.
That's right.
So that double diamond is constantly moving.
That's right, and that gets the most wear within our system, that diamond crossover, because you have trains coming south, going north, and they go through that crossover, and it moves. And over the years, Tara, that has become very deteriorated. And along with the cross ties being weather beaten, all the movement that's on the rails. And if you notice that we slow our trains down, that's one of the areas where we have a slow order in, because of the condition of the Canterbury. So we have made a correct decision to go ahead and replace that at one time. We're going to have to replace that entire line, the red and the gold line, at the same time, that section through that diamond crossover. Therefore, we're going to have to shut the service down between Lindbergh. It's going to stop at Lindbergh. Coming south, it's going to stop at Buckhead on the red line. And coming south on the gold line, it's going to stop at Lenox. While we replace that, it's going to take us about 5 days. They're going to start next Tuesday night, start demoing, and then consequently having reinstalled Monday morning, by next Monday morning, the 22nd at 4 a.m. So we are shutting that portion of the system down.
So we only shut it down when it's absolute necessary, because it's a big logistical effort to move people. So people basically will be on the train, will have to get off, exit the train, get on a bus bridge, then basically go to Lindbergh, for the most part, exit the bus bridge, get back on the train. So we recognize it's an inconvenience to our passengers, but from a logistical standpoint, we are doing the best we can to minimize that inconvenience.
That's correct.
Sure, makes sense.
One other thing that I would like to add in reference to the Canberra, this is not going to be all the work that we have to do in that area. We have 5 additional turnouts that we're going to need to install in this area. Once we start to do those, we will be single tracking.
Really appreciate you taking time to talk. Anything else from your standpoint? I'd love to just hear anything else you'd like to add. I don't know if there's any additional needs you might have from a resourcing standpoint, or anything else you'd like riders to know.
Well, we first of all, we apologize for the inconvenience. But we want our customers to know that we are, from a logistical standpoint, we are doing everything we can to, again, minimize the inconvenience. So we think it will go very well, and we're going to monitor the situation on an hourly basis over the five-day period. So we just want everybody to know that customers are job one, and that's our mission, to basically move people to the places where they have to go with speed and efficiency.
Todd, if I can just add to that, Mr. Rucker touched on it. During our early planning process, we had multiple options on the table as to how we're going to go in and implement the shutdown. There was a option on the table of a 30-day shutdown. There was an option on the table for a 35-day shutdown. There was another option on the table for an 11-day shutdown. However, collectively, the management got together and decided, okay, what is going to be the least negative impact to our customers? And we decided to go with the 5-day shutdown, and we can get a lot of that work completed. And then the subsequent turnouts that we need to install, we can single track, and we can still get our customers through that area with a minimum impact.
Does the single tracking, does that impact the headways too much, or can you still maintain the current pace of trains?
It does impact it, especially in this particular area, if I can paint a picture for you. So my train's leaving from Lindbergh going north. They would have to single track on one track, either the NR or the NL track. Now, my train's just coming south from Doraville, and my train's coming south on the red line. They will have to hold at those prospective stations until my train traveling north clears that area. So yes, it will impact the headways. And right now our schedule indicates it's going to be about a 24-minute headway to get through that area before we can release another train.
But now bear in mind, the COVID headway is about 20 minutes. So it'll be about the resulting 4-minute additional impact from what currently is the schedule on the train. So, you know, it'll be minimal impact during the COVID operation.
And during that time, when we're doing the single tracking, we will also offer our customers a standby bus service. So if they don't want to wait while the train gets through that area, we will have buses on standby, and that can take them to the next station. We've already ran simulations in reference to leaving Lindbergh. There's about a 4.5-minute ride from Lindbergh to Buckhead, and then there's about an 11-minute drive from Lindbergh over to Lenox. So if they want to use that supplemental bus service that we're providing, and that's free of charge, they have that option.
So that's 15 minutes from pretty much the a place like Lenox all the way to Lindbergh.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation. We have several exciting interviews lined up for future episodes, so please subscribe and check back. For railfanning.org, I'm Todd DeFeo. Be sure to visit railfanning.org for more news, features, and photos from the rails.